Welcome to this exciting episode of Talking Pork, the podcast created for the food service industry. I'm your host, Vanessa Barnes, Business Development Manager, Food Service Australian Pork. Adam, you know, you've had a really interesting journey and, you know, you talk about people that have inspired you and mentored you, but from the other side of the fence, you've been a massive inspiration and you are a very important person when it comes for young chefs to gain their inspiration from, and they use you as a mentor. Something that most listeners maybe don't know about you is that you have a commendation for an OAM. And I just think that it's worthy of talking about because it's so fully deserved and it really does epitomize the type of person that you are. So tell us about it and how it came about.
So that's an interesting question because the Order of Australia I don't normally talk about because when I got it, I was so young. I was actually 18 or just turned 18. It was my final year at school. It was also the night of my school formal that I was to go to Government House to get the commendation of Australia. Back then, I didn't even know what it was. I come home one day and there was an official government letter in the mailbox. We never got that at home. And I had to read it a couple of times to understand what I was getting because from when I was 13, I used to do a lot of charity work. It was part of the Catholic culture of the school that I went to, and they encouraged lots of people to do working bees and get behind things. And I probably took it as a bit of a reliever, a bit of a break away from school. I would volunteer because we had a nursing home on our school. We also had a junior school as well, so you could volunteer at your time. And I've always been passionate about doing other things. I was always a doer. I was on the debating team. I did the sound and lighting team. You know, anytime we had functions, I created the sound and lighting for functions at school. I was, you know, school president and worked on through the school committee. So I did lots of things there. But charity was something I really loved. And I by the time I was 16, 17, 18, on about my 18th, I had raised over $2 million for charity.
What year was this?
So we're going back to 93, 94.
So $2 million was a whole lot more than what $2 million is today.
It was a big challenge. It was something I was just raising different money for different charities, whether it be everything from Amnesty International, Lifeline back then. And also while I was doing this, I really wanted, because food was my love, I started a soup kitchen up to try and feed homeless people on a Friday night. So I would finish school, Friday night would go and serve to homeless people in Penrith area. It eventually become so big that we actually got given a space in the local area, and it became a bigger thing. And that charity still runs today, which is great to see. I still heavily involved, but it's something I started, but it's someone else has taken over. And to be a part of charity, it was my chance to give back. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, you talk about young chefs, and I had lots of great mentors. So I give back to people because I was so grateful for what I had. In a Catholic school, you realize that there were a lot of people that were disadvantaged back then. You know, even going to an elderly person and sitting there and learning stories, just talking to them or reading them books, it was my downtime. Mm-hmm. And it was very private. That's why I don't talk about it today. I just do a lot of charity because it's self-satisfying as well, but also I'm giving back for everything that I've been privileged for in my life. There's so much to do and there's still a lot more to do. To get an honour, first of all, was mind-blowing because here's this 18-year-old kid. I had a full-time job. I was doing school and I was doing my charity commitments. I wasn't the sporty type kid, so that never entered my mind. But doing these things was where I really started to grow. A lot of people back then, I was a bit of a nerd. I would wear a tie to different places in public because I felt like I was more like an adult because I was dealing with so many adults when I was growing up. And a lot of people knew how busy I was and I had a lot of friends. I wasn't in any particular group of friends, but they all
everyone's friends.
It was everyone's friends.
Nothing's changed.
I had lots of friends, so which was great.
That's wonderful. And thank you for sharing because I do know that it is a private part of your life that that you don't talk about very often, but I do feel that it's something to be celebrated and it says a lot about who you are as a person.
To get it at 18, it's something that most people get when they're 60, 70, lifetime achievement. So I felt a bit awkward talking about it, but it's also I've moved on since from then and I've done a lot more charity and done a lot of different parts. It's just something to remind people that there are other people out there and, you know, charity can start from your house. Charity can start with your peers at work, but everyone has a story. So go out there and listen to the stories.
Very, very true. So moving on slightly, another element that I know is of great importance to you are the young chefs coming through the industry. So let's have a little deep dive into that and let's talk about the young chefs and what it is about the young chefs that pulls you to want to be such a big part of what they are doing.
Like I said, Reinhard Reutner, and I had lots of mentors in my career. I was very lucky that he was good friends with Serge Doncereau, some really high-profile chefs in the time. Also, the sous chef that I worked under, Deepak Rao. These were great guys that were invested.
Did you work under Deepak?
Yes, I did. Deepak was the sous chef back then, a great inspiration because they spent time with me, whether I did a competition, whether I was doing an apprentice dinner, or even when I was doing things at TAFE. They invested their own time in me. They didn't have to do that. They didn't get paid extra to do that. They were doing that. And also Han Shings from Ride TAFE, who was the principal, invested a lot of time in my career. Not only did they check up on me, they were also present when I was getting an award. They were also there to give me advice if I didn't succeed or didn't hit my benchmark that I wanted. And they gave so much to me. That's important. And it was interesting. Reinhard always said to me, if you're not asking for my job, I'm doing something wrong. And I've used that mantra ever since. If young people do not, and it may not be my job, but coming through and say, I want to be a chef, and they're not doing it, what am I doing wrong? And so young chefs, I believe it's sustainability. You know, cooking is the oldest career in the world, or one of many, but you know, even in Pompeii, when you've dug it up, the chefs were celebrated. Food was, it's very much a part of our lives. It's,
that brings us all together.
It keeps us alive.
It keeps us around a table and talking.
But we celebrate and some of our greatest memories are around food.
Mm.
And to do that with young people today, like I think there's so many choices, but it confuses a lot of the things around there. Before I didn't have the internet, you had to go and find things. You had to go and Funkamagnal, you know, encyclopedias to find things. Now you've got so much choice. I think it also is very confusing sometimes. There is so much out there. I think young people also are definitely a way of my personal learning. I learn off them because they look at the world very differently. There has been some amazing young chefs in Australia that they're now in their own. They've got their own restaurants and that. And now I feel old because these young kids have come up and I still call them some of them young kids, but they're actually only probably about, you know, 10 years different sometimes. And now they're running their own places or, you know, they've got beards and even some of the young girls are now running places or multiple sites. That's impressive that they've come up. And I love that they have passion and enthusiasm or they were stuck in their career and they've made a different direction and that direction's become even bigger than Ben Hur. So that's the excitement of young chefs. And also young chefs are a very important part of any industry because you're learning. I think anyone, young apprentices, full stop, in any career, you're learning from masters. That knowledge could go one day. So they're learning that knowledge, that craft from someone else, and that craft is still being handed down, like your grandparents' generation handing to the mum and dad, and mum and dad handing it to you, and one day you hand to your kids. That's the part of it. And I think what happens is we stop sharing stories. Australia is a different society. We don't have, besides traditional Aboriginals that have a storytelling generation, modern Australia doesn't do that now. Around the world, there's cultures that share stories each and every day about their upbringing. You know, even the family tree is a way of sharing a story. Sharing recipes, sharing ideas, learning from things like escoffier and putting into a modern spin with some of the produce that we have now, that's exceptional. That's exciting. So using that and telling the story, but also as an older person, learning from these young people and being inspired and learning and developing and becoming the chef that I need to be, but also they're coming through the ranks, become the chefs they want to be.
That's really well said. Well, you know, I love that. It is really about meeting in the middle, isn't it? We all can learn from each other, and it's just about sitting down and talking and involving yourself. And it isn't a rite of passage. It's something to be looked after and cherished with these younger apprentices or young chefs, young commies coming through the industry. So on to a little lighter note now. So tell me, Adam, apart from Vanessa and Sage, who would be your top three influences in your life? We're not just talking about industry. We're talking about life.
Oh, interesting. If I was to really look back, I would say both my grandmothers. Interesting, my dad's mum, she worked at George Weston Foods and Western Biscuits. Well, she worked at Western Biscuits and Pete Freen's. Pete Freen's got bought by Arnott's. My other grandmother, my mum's mum, she worked at Cerebos. And those viewers that don't know, my career has been corporate, and I've gone into George Weston, Campbell Arnott's, and Cerebos. And it was interesting. I didn't really know that they had done their life or worked or started their careers in these places that I eventually become a corporate chef of. So that heritage, that knowledge, both unfortunately passed away, but a very big influence on what I do today is those two. My mother, she is an amazing rock in my life. Mum was the first one to say, you know, go be a chef. I had a lot of people say, you know, don't do a chef, you know, chefing, it's not a great career, and a lot of doubters in my life. But my mum was always my rock, and she still is. And I didn't know till later on in life that my mum actually was a caterer, and she did cakes herself. And it was interesting when we grew up, my mum did every cake for both my brother, my sister, and my birthdays. But I never knew she was a cake decorator. I never knew that she had such a food life. And it's really important to see that. And I think we, you know, that information of sharing, we don't share that information until it's too late. Mm. I was lucky that I had time with my grandparents to learn what they did and recipes that they did and why they carried, you know, cooked for certain things. I'm still learning off my mum every day, and, you know, hopefully I do her proud every day. And I think the other one is Sister Patricia Tully was my school principal in my early days in high school. And that was the lady that inspired me to do so much more. I think my charity started with her, my list of goals in my life. And she played a big part for about 6 years. And even though I haven't seen her for a long time, it always comes into my thoughts. So, you know, it's interesting. I had four very strong female influences in my career. Which is important because I think, female influence in the culinary world is important because there's such a balance, there's harmony. And that's why I'm also very supportive of female chefs in the industry, because I had four very strong influences in my career that developed who I am. Yes, I had lots of great mentors in chefing world, but they're all very male inspired to begin with. But to have four very strong female influences changed a lot of things that I do. And probably I do have my feminine side because I, you know, can shop really well and do all the fun stuff.
Embrace it, I say, embrace it.
If you enjoyed listening, stay tuned for part three. For more information, please email us at inspired@australianpork.com.au or sign up to receive our informative newsletters at www.inspiredbyaustralianpork.com.au. Until next time, I'm Vanessa Barnes, and don't forget, get more pork on your menu.